minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I am Brady Hull, ready to rock and roll on this 10th day of January. This day of new beginnings for the Denver Broncos, as we saw Saturday night play out. Broncos lose to the Chiefs. Yet another questionable decision by Vic Fangio late in that game to kick a field goal rather than go for it. We'll get into that later. But nonetheless, you won't have to deal with that anymore, as George Payton Company made the decision to move on from Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. And we'll get the details on the rest of the coaching staff throughout this process. But now the Broncos are ready to hire a new guy. I was thinking about this over the weekend. Going, when was Shanahan hired? Was it 93? It was 93, and he was fired in, like, was it 2008? I want to say it was 2008, something like that. So my growing up, you know, 93, I was 6 or 7, whatever, and or 8, I don't remember. It was something like that when Shanahan was hired. And Shanahan was here forever, right? He was the Broncos head coach well into the 2000s. Now we're at this point in my much more adult life, well, at least by age, we have cycled through the coaches. So I was spoiled. I think a lot of us Broncos fans were spoiled. We talk about Elway all the time, but Mike Shanahan was a part of that winning culture that we were just used to. You know, we expected the playoffs every single year. You expected consistency with your quarterback and your head coach and your system and your philosophy. So, once Shanahan was fired, it was Josh McDaniels. Then it was John Fox. Then it was Gary Kubiak. Then Vance Joseph. Vic Fangio. Now, player to be named. But this time around, it's different. It's George Payton making all the decisions. Joe Ellis, John Elway, out of the decision-making process here. This will be all on George Payton at this stage. We will bring Zach Stevens on from DNVR Broncos at the bottom of the hour to give us kind of some details as far as candidates go. I do know that the Broncos have asked for permission to interview the Patriots linebacker coach in Mayo. I am kind of at this point where Jared Mayo, okay, maybe he's young guy, unproven. I do think about, though, I'm at this stage where I'm pretty much ready, within reason, to turn the page on a younger, not necessarily age range, but within reason there, too. But those kind of names are intriguing because I'm tired of the retread. You know, we're hearing Harbaugh left and right. You want to know my honest opinion on Harbaugh? I think that Michigan is using, I think he's using the NFL to get more money from Michigan. I think Michigan's going to give him everything that he wants. And I don't even know that the Raiders seem to be the hot ticket for him. Maybe the Raiders stand pat, stick with what they're doing. So I'm just kind of at this stage where I want to see a guy that's kind of moving up through the ranks and get out of this old, good old boy system. You know, the Dan Quinns of the world, the Doug Petersons of the world. I'm not saying they would be bad. I mean, hell, at this stage, anybody that could have just made some decent decisions for Denver, they might be a playoff team. And yeah, I am putting that on Vic Fangio. I know he threw it on the quarterbacks, said that they don't have a top-tier quarterback. I'm like, dude, if you make five decisions the opposite way that you made, you might have two more wins under your belt. So I'm just at this stage where it's time to go the route that the Rams did. Go the route that the Niners did. A young guy with new ideas. That's where I'd go. He said, Chris, ironic that fired coaches all have teams with QB issues. We need Mayfield and Harbaugh. Brady and Billick. Is that right? Oops. Okay, you said, Chris. What was the oops for? You're not going to get Tom Brady. You're not going to get Baker Mayfield. You're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to get Russell Wilson. So you have to develop. This stems way back, and I wouldn't trade this for the world. This is the way it was, and you got a Super Bowl out of it. But when John Elway didn't have a plan B. He was going to go with plan A. Well, they never, ever recovered from that. Now, they got a Super Bowl, so you'd be out of your mind to say it wasn't worth it. Yes, a fight should have been made harder to keep Brock Osweiler. There was a rift already brewing between Elway and Kubiak over that decision. And obviously, Gary, for several reasons, moved on from Denver. I'm not saying Brock Osweiler was the saving grace. I'm just saying that's where you started to see the fractures in the foundation for the Broncos. We don't have a plan B. We like plan A. Well, what's plan B when Manning retires? Are you going to develop a quarterback? Do you have anybody in mind that could develop a quarterback? Is that going to be a focal point for you? And, you know, they tried with Paxton Lynch. They tried that route in the first round. It just didn't work out. So many different quarterbacks. It hasn't worked. I want to talk about George Payton, and we'll get into a few of the interesting things that he said yesterday about the head coach philosophy, the quarterback situation. Drew Locke, we're going to get into all that as well. But this has been from a long line of not taking the quarterback situation seriously. You bring in Case Keenum after a flash in the pan. You sign him to a two-year deal. That set you back. Those kind of deals just keep setting you back. And when you do it two or three times, it sets you way the hell back. Meaning you're left with, hopefully Drew Locke works out, or we go get Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, I'll even admit, as much as I was in the Drew Locke camp, that was because of who he was going up against in camp. Teddy Bridgewater. If that would have been Russell Wilson, if that would have been an established young quarterback, Mac Jones, not established, but young quarterback, I would have been way more likely to say, okay, Mac, it's 50-50 between Mac and Drew. Guess what I would have said? Go with Mac Jones. Go with the upside. But instead, I was pushing for Drew Locke because you stuck with this Teddy Bridgewater situation. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available. Yesterday was, who would you rather see as the coaching candidate or as the head coach amongst the candidates? Today is, I'm just going to plain and simple it for you. Should they go offense or defense? Now, a lot of you are saying offense, obviously. That's what the wholeshow.com, again, go there, vote. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. I'm just going to say I agree with you. Got to go offense. A case can be made that you go defense, though, because you build on what you had. You know how rare? What was the stat, Michael? I don't remember what it was, but it was like since like 93 or something like that. A team hadn't had a top unit in a major category or unit like defense, top five, and missed the playoffs. It was like since the 90s or something like that. It's a very long time ago, and the Broncos did it. That goes to show you how good of a defensive coordinator Vic Fangio is, but also how bad of a head coach / offensive coordinator you were dealing with. That's how bad things were. So, very interesting stat there. This was a bad organization, save for the defensive side of the ball. So, one school of thought is that you bring a defensive-minded guy in, and, you know, he can pick up where Vic leaves off, and then you just hope like hell the decision-making process is better, and you can find a quarterback. Yes, Michael.
So the 2010 Chargers had both the top offense and top defense and missed the playoffs.
Okay, so it was 2010 with both. I saw another stat, though, where it was like team with at least one of those typically makes because they're so strong in one category.
Yeah, but, well, this was a strange year because they had such a bad special teams.
So it's very rare that that happens, that you have a top. I've always said this on my show. Odds are if you have a top five unit in one of the major categories, like best pass defense, best rush defense, best rush offense, best pass offense, if you have one of those that's really, really good at something, odds are you're going to win 9 to 10 games. You're going to be close to a playoff team. That just goes to show you, again, how bad the situation was with Vic Fangio. A lot to get into today. I want your thoughts and your text. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Let's jump over real quickly, though. From the weekend that was, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. It wasn't a lot of good. The Avs had a nice comeback win. The CU women's basketball team, they're undefeated. That's kind of cool. But as far as me and what I really, really follow and pick up on, I'm going to go with the Nuggets winning two in a row. Now, I gotta get into some stuff, though. A few things I'm scared of. Until you get somebody that can be a consistent scorer, Joker was double-teamed all night. They were hesitant to get him the ball in the paint. More hesitant than I've ever seen. But somehow, someway, the Nuggets found a way to get it done.
See, the double team comes over. Jokic, so crafty, finds Green, and he just muscles his way up to the rim.
I just think that Joker's such a sensational player because he takes those double teams on. Austin Rivers was talking about it last night. It's like, this guy is doubled all the time. He is the offense, and he has to figure out what to do with it within like half a second. Shoot it, drive, pass off, dribble. I agree. And for that reason, he is my whole show player of the week. Presented by Red Wing Shoes in Greeley and Johnstown. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. Obviously bad. The Broncos losing their finale and now the 13th time in a row to the Kansas City Chiefs.
His possession. Gordon could not have been and lost the ball. Gordon fumbles and it's picked up. Nick Bolton, the former Missouri Tiger, with a game-changing play. A scoop and score. Melvin Ingram knocked the ball loose from Melvin Gordon, and the Chiefs have the lead, and this crowd is stunned. Wow.
Former teammates. Ugh. Should Melvin Gordon be back? I say bring him back. I like Gordon. I know the fumble was terrible, but the decision to kick the field goal by Vic Fangio late with 4 minutes left was worse. You have nothing to lose. Literally nothing to lose. Well, your job, but you already lost that. Go for it. Evaluate Drew in a fourth and goal situation with your season on the line. But they didn't do that. Yeah. The ugly? We'll switch gears here for a minute. Colorado State's first real road game, meaning it wasn't at a neutral site or a tournament, and it just so happened to be in the Vios Center against San Diego State, and second half was terrible.
He cuts in line, Mensah handoff and screen for Butler.
Yeah, this strong, aggressive play out front.
All creative artistry. The Butler does it again.
That was ugly. 30-point loss. David Roddy scored 17. Isaiah Stevens scored 19. The rest of the team, 13 points. The rest of the team had 13 points. Wow. And there's two things that we talk about when we talk about Colorado State. First, it's the stars, Isaiah Stevens and David Roddy. The second thing is, oh, wow, they're deep. They have a lot of studs on this team. And as far as scoring, Roddy and Stevens, I know Tanjay had 8. That's even more pathetic, I suppose, when you say, well, Tanjay was all right. He had 8 of the rest's 13. That means 3 players got close to double digits and the rest didn't do anything. Yikes. CSU goes at it against Utah State. And I know it's not sexy, but that's my game of the week, is Colorado State taking on the Utah State Aggies this Wednesday night. The reason being, I really need to see a Rams bounce back. I know the Buffs play Arizona. I know that. And I know the Nuggets play the Blazers on Thursday, but I'm really intrigued by this one because I need to see CSU bounce back, because they were bad against Air Force but found a way to win, and they were bad in that second half against San Diego State, and you can't be bad against that team. They dropped out of the rankings because of it. They're now out of the top 25. Dixon texting in. Brady, I know there is a lot of stuff going on with the Broncos and whatnot, but let's get to the important stuff. When should I come by to pick up my belt? Yeah, we need to make sure on that, my friend. I got to check the two sides, because the way we do it, we have two leagues in our fantasy football league, and we have the two champions, and whoever has the most points gets the belt. I do believe Dixon, unfortunately, might have had more points. The arch nemesis of the show is going to get the belt. And a little birdie tells me the belt is done today, actually. So, great. 19 minutes after the hour, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Would you like to see the Broncos go offense or defense when it comes to their next head coach? We'll get into candidates later on in the program. Zach Stevens will join me. We'll talk to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, in the second hour as well. The Bears, whew, that was a tough loss to Sacramento State as well. Wasn't the best weekend in the world. Although the NFL season ended with a bang, a lot of fans wanted a tie in that one. We'll talk about that next.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
You know, I had some great meetings with Vic over the last couple of weeks, really all season. You know, we meet with Vic daily, weekly. And he had, you know, we had some really good discussions, but at the end of the day, we just thought it was best to make a move at this time.
There's George Payton yesterday. There's a lot to unpack from his press conference yesterday. We won't play the whole thing back, but talking about the decision to move on from Vic Fangio. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in Greeley, Evans area. Services as unique as life. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today and talk to them about pre-planning. It truly is an amazing gift. 970-330-6824. So no more Vic Fangio, no more Pat Shurmur. Now, I put on my YouTube channel, go ahead and follow our YouTube channel. Just search out the whole show. I put a video together Saturday night knowing it was going to be outdated by the time I woke up Sunday. And it was. But I discussed the... I said I wouldn't be shocked if Vic Fangio sticks around. Pat Shurmur, no. I wouldn't be shocked if they stuck with Vic because of the ownership situation, because you thought you were maybe close. And honestly, even though what Vic said about the quarterback situation, saying, hey, you know, he was asked about the AFC West finishing at the bottom again, and he said, well, those teams have top-shelf quarterbacks. And while I don't want to hear that from my head coach at the end of the season, Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, they're not in the same... They're not in the same realm. They're not in the same field. And they're not even on the same field as Derek Carr and Justin Herbie Hancock and Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. They're not even there. Now, again, could Drew Lock get there? Maybe. Could Teddy? No. He's not going to ever get there. He is who he is. And maybe Drew Lock is who he is, but there's only one of those things we know for certain. Now we go on to the candidates. Who makes the most sense? What's the most important thing for George Payton? Is it the head coaching position? Is it the quarterback situation? I thought this one, Michael, was very interesting. I believe it was Mark Kisla that asked this question, maybe. Talking to George about, you know, the coach and the quarterback and all that and how it all works together.
Does it really matter who the next head coach is if you don't get the right quarterback? And how do you look at this as one big piece, you know, coach and quarterback in this offseason?
Yeah, obviously I know how important that position is. It's the most important position in sports, but we're focused on the coach. And if you can get the right leader, that's the most important thing right now is getting the right leader. And then we'll get the quarterback, we'll get the other positions. And but no, the leadership and the right head coach for this football team is the number one priority.
Okay, let me follow with that. Do you think what's more essential to a winning football team in the NFL, the head coach or the quarterback?
Well, that's a good question, you know, and I would say the head coach right now. We need a head coach. We'll focus on the quarterback at a different time. That's a debatable question that, you know, I don't know if we have enough time, but right now we're focused on this head coaching search and get the right guy for the Denver.
So what do you think about that? I mean, he's going to have to hire the coach within the next 10 days. That's going to be the thing. So the ideas of all these crazy quarterback scenarios coming in, do you want to screw up again here? Do you want to get a head coach and then get your quarterback later? That's what happened with Vic Fangio. You hired Vic Fangio, the death by inches guy, and then you drafted a gunslinger in Drew Lock. Didn't fit. So you draft your coach. Like, I want to know, did Vic Fangio sign off on the Drew Lock signing? Was that something he was cool with, or was that just John Elway saying, that's who I want, make it work? Because it doesn't seem like that would be Vic's type of guy, seeing as he wanted Teddy Bridgewater. So you hire the head coach. George Payton is very noncommittal as far as, like, hey, I'm about the quarterback spot. Does that lead us to believe that Drew Lock's going to be back next year? He is under contract, so they'd have to cut him or trade him. They're not trading him. They'd have to cut him. They're not paying him much. So those of you that say, oh, he's not coming back, he is under contract. So there's a really good chance he's coming back. Yes, Michael.
So are you thinking, is the question, is he going to be
the
more likely the starter?
Yeah. Which, to say no, go ahead, say no.
I don't know if I can say no.
Yeah, because who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos next year?
I don't know. I think he's done enough in the last three games to give him another tryout for his job. Teddy's not going to be here next year.
Not unless you want to pay him $23 million to do whatever the hell that was this year.
Yeah, he's too expensive. That's not going to work out.
The free agent pool is not very good. The draft class, you got a ninth pick. Are you using that ninth pick for a quarterback? Probably not. If you didn't last year, that quarterback draft class was much better than what we're going to get into this year, then probably not. And then Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, I mean, those are your options. You're not going to trade the farm for anyone other than top shelf, as Vic Fangio said. You're not going to trade for Kirk Cousins and that kind of stuff. You're not going to go that route. I know George Payton has the history with Cousins, but you're not going to trade two to three first-round draft picks and a player to be named for anyone other than an Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, A-plus type quarterback. So that's not happening for several reasons. The Deshaun Watson thing, too many unknowns. Aaron Rodgers, they're the best team in football, baby. Why would they come to Denver? Russell Wilson, his camp, Pete Carroll's camp, they have all been adamant that those two are not going anywhere. And I haven't, other than the weird rumor we heard like 8 weeks ago that he would wave his claws, I've heard everything the opposite of that, that Russell Wilson's not going anywhere. I'll get to your texts and everything. We got to jump out real fast. We're going to talk to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Let's get his thoughts. Ian Rappaport just shared this out moments ago. So we've got Mayo in the mix. The Broncos have requested permission to interview Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. We knew that was coming. Dan Quinn, very much a strong candidate right now. Listen, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I was asked this morning on NoCo Now with Tanner, what grade would I give the idea of it? I'm not big on the retread. It's not really me analyzing the person or the coach. I'm not big on the retread. I want to try something new. So I'm going a C on any of these guys that have done it before. That's where I'm at. I do think the Broncos should go with a position coach or a coordinator that's young and up and coming with new and fresh ideas. So anybody that's like Dan Quinn, and I'm sorry, but even Harbaugh, who's just going to get more money from Michigan, I'm going to say a C. And I know that sounds crazy that I'm just going to blanket them all together like that, but I think it's time to try the same route that the 49ers went, that the Rams went. That's where I'm at. 31 minutes after the hour. Zach Stevens coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. With me now on our First Advantage hotline, our Broncos insider, Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. Zach, the search begins. George Payton and company not wasting any time as far as requesting interviews and such. Jared Mayo, linebackers coach for the Patriots, and Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, as you tweeted out 7 minutes ago exactly, are the first names up on the list. You're feeling like Dan Quinn's name is really rising to the top instantly, don't you think?
Yeah, Dan Quinn is definitely the front runner, and thanks for having me on, Brady. And the reason for Dan Quinn is, well, a few reasons. He has some past connection with George Payton. In fact, there was almost a scenario where George Payton was going to join Dan Quinn down in Atlanta to be a head coach, general manager combination, and that was going to be Dan bringing George along with him. Now it would be the opposite, George bringing Dan along with him. And when we talked to George Payton yesterday, everything he said, Brady, pointed to Dan Quinn being the guy. And now I think a lot of people are saying, wait, this is a defensive guy. The Broncos need offense. That's not what George Payton said. George Payton's number one thing that he's looking for is leadership. Leadership. And when you talk to people that were around Dan Quinn in Atlanta, that's what they say, is Dan Quinn was a leader when the times were good, when the times were bad. he was a leader. Additionally, George Payton said he doesn't care if they're offensive or defensive side of the ball. Of course, they're going to have to bring a good offensive plan around him. And when you look at Dan Quinn, while he's not going to be managing the offense, he had a top 10 offense in every year but one when he was down there in Atlanta. So that's a selling point that Dan Quinn will be able to bring into the interview and say, look, I'm not going to be calling plays on offense, but I know how to identify offensive coaches and offensive talent.
Zach, does that rule out then? I mean, I know Jared Mayo's in the mix, but does that rule out potentially first-time head coaches?
Yeah, I do think it hurts first-time head coaches. I don't think it rules them out, but isn't it easier to tell leadership when a guy's already been in a leadership position and succeeded with that? So I definitely think it gives a leg above to a lot of people, and I think that's kind of encouraging for a lot of Broncos fans. Look, Vance Joseph, not a first-time head coach when the Broncos hired, or was a first-time head coach when the Broncos hired him. Same with Vic Fangio, same with Josh McDaniels. None of those guys worked out. And not just for that reason, but I do think that the guys that have the past experience will benefit from that.
Talking to Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. So on that same token, as far as George Payton's talking about leadership, does that also lead us to believe that he didn't believe Vic Fangio had that? Because I know the defensive locker room, Shelby Harris sticking up for him on Twitter and everything, but did Vic lack leadership there? Was he not the leader overall for this team?
Yeah, he was the defensive leader, exactly like you said, Brady. He was the defensive leader that the Broncos needed, but he wasn't the head coach. And now the Broncos, when they want to hire their next guy, why they're okay going defense again is because they're going to go more the CEO-type defensive leader where, yes, he may call plays on the defense. He may be more in the defensive meeting rooms than the offensive meeting rooms, but he's still going to give a lot of attention to defense and special teams, or offense and special teams. And with Vic Fangio, he was brought here. It's not necessarily his fault. He was brought here to keep the defense great. That's what John Elway said. So the message coming from the general manager, the guy that's hiring him, is completely different. It's not bringing Dan Quinn or Gerard Mayo in here to say, keep this defense great. It's going to be lead this team, not just the defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It does seem like there were mixed messages from the beginning. I mean, you hire Vic Fangio and then you draft Drew Lock. I mean, two totally different situations there. So, I mean, the thinking there was bizarre from the get-go. Other candidates in the mix. I really like the idea of Byron Leftwich, and I know a lot of people throw out he's with Tom Brady, but they were a top five offense when Jameis Winston was there. And, of course, Jameis was through 30 picks and all that. But I don't know. Maybe I liked following his career. And it seems like he has some quarterback coaching experience and whatnot. Is he a realistic candidate?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is a realistic candidate. And look, when you look at guys, there are going to be guys that don't have head coaching experience, but that should not eliminate them off your list. If the Broncos did that with Sean McVay, well, then they really messed up because Sean McVay has had a ton of success. So it shouldn't just boil down to, have they been a head coach before? Yep. Okay. Well, then they're on our list. If they haven't, then they can't be. And Byron Leftwich is a very interesting name because he does have that experience. And like you said, I want to look past guys, or I don't want to look past guys that have had success with a very good quarterback. I want to see what else they've done, though. Byron Leftwich did have success with Jameis Winston. You look at Nathaniel Hackett. Mm. Of course he's having success with Aaron Rodgers. He also has Matt LaFleur calling the plays, and he seems to be a good head coach. But you know something about Nathaniel Hackett is he made Blake Bortles a top five offense in Jacksonville. So that's actually what excites me about Nathaniel Hackett potentially being a Broncos head coach, is what he was able to do with terrible quarterbacks. That excites me more than what he's able to do with Aaron Rodgers. So, yes, if you just look at a guy and say, oh, he had success, and I don't care who the quarterback was. If it was a great quarterback, I want to see what more they've done. But I'm not just going to knock a guy off my list because he's had success with Tom Brady, and of course that was all Tom Brady. No, you're going to miss out on some good candidates if you do that.
Nathaniel Hackett's interesting, too, because in the pipe dream scenario of getting Aaron Rodgers, is that any part of the thought process there? Because I've almost ruled out the idea of Rodgers, really, to be honest, Zach, because, you know, Rodgers, if he stays in Green Bay, the odds are he's going to have a chance to win a Super Bowl, perhaps we just say for the rest of his career.
he would be crazy to leave Green Bay. I mean, what more do you want? You have a head coach that you really like. You have a situation where now they are really adapting and giving you everything you want. And you have some great weapons on your team. And right now you're the best team in the NFL. So I agree. I think he'd be crazy. I'm not counting on Aaron Rodgers being a Denver Bronco either. And that's how the Broncos have to approach this head coaching position. Whether we're talking Nathaniel Hackett and his ties with Aaron Rodgers, whether we're talking Dan Quinn and his potential ties with Russell Wilson, whether we're talking Brian Flores and his potential ties to Deshaun Watson. You cannot hire a head coach in this cycle based on this dream scenario of getting a really good quarterback who's under contract with another team right now. Now, that's a nice little bonus. If you get Nathaniel Hackett, you fall in love with him, he's your number one candidate, you bring him on board and he says, hey, I think I have a better shot of getting Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay than anyone else. That's a great bonus, but you cannot do that because I'm right there with you. I think all of those three scenarios are dream scenarios. And let's say you hire one of these guys because you think they can bring that quarterback here and they don't. Well, now you're stuck with a head coach that you only like because of a quarterback he could bring. And now that quarterback you're not going to be able to get. So that would put you in a terrible situation. So you can't do that. It can be a nice cherry on top, but man, you got to eat the sundae first before getting there.
Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, my guest. Brian Flores, you mentioned that name. I was pretty shocked. Now, I'm not saying he was gangbusters, no doubt about it, amazing. But it did seem like he was on the right trajectory. And then, of course, this year they were winning games left and right to put themselves even in that conversation when to start the season, they were one of the worst teams in the league. So, the way he handled the Tua, Deshaun Watson quarterback thing was interesting. But that name is a big name on everybody's list that's looking for a head coach this morning.
Absolutely. I mean, talk about a up-and-coming candidate a couple of years ago when the Dolphins took a chance on him. And now he gets all of his rookie mistakes out of the way, and it wasn't a crash and burn type of situation that got him fired in the first place. No, I mean, he nearly had a 500 record with the Dolphins. I actually think he outperformed with that team in terms of the talent they had. And now it's going to be interesting. I think there's already some things that have come out about how he, you know, didn't have any relationship with the quarterback and the general manager. I expect those types of things to come out. If you dive into those and find out that those aren't true, then, man, Brian Flores has to be near the top of everyone's list. I would expect the Broncos to reach out to him because, man, he is a really good potential candidate. Just like you said, I was actually really surprised that Brian Flores was fired. If their season had gone the other way, where they went on a 7-game win streak and then a 7-game losing streak to end the season, of course I wouldn't have been surprised. But the fact they did the opposite and they beat the Patriots yesterday, I mean, I'm very surprised. He's a guy that definitely seems to have those leadership abilities that George Payton's looking for, and that's why I expect him to be on the Broncos list at some point.
It's almost like the Dolphins organization drew their line in the sand and basically said, hey, we're getting behind our coach or our quarterback, and they chose their quarterback. And I mean, we know those,
and I don't blame them.
Right. I mean, they believe in him. They want to see if he can grow, and if you can't get that connection, it might not mean that both are terrible. It just means that they couldn't connect with each other. So who knows there? All right, so of the names we talked about, we're missing some other names too. What, Doug Peterson's in the mix? I've heard Jim Caldwell's name in the mix. Where are you at, man? Top three candidates at this stage, and I know interviews are coming.
Yeah, my number one, and this is a number one by leaps and bounds, is Doug Peterson. And I think he should be at the top of the Broncos list as well, even though I think Dan Quinn's there. But Doug Peterson has everything you could want as a potential head coach, especially for the Broncos. He's got that offensive mindset. Not just the offensive mindset, he's a guy that is very creative. I mean, the Philly special, that was him right there. Broncos tried to do their own version of it and failed pretty miserably earlier this year. But he also is a proven guy where he will adapt to the quarterback's needs. Look, he had Carson Wentz playing at an MVP level, and then he gets hurt, and he leads Nick Foles to a Super Bowl, completely changes the offense for him. And not only that, but he developed Carson Wentz. And when Carson Wentz had his best seasons, it was under Doug Peterson. He identified him in the draft, drafted him, and then brought him up. So quarterback development, getting exceptional play from a quarterback, he has that. And then what happened when Doug Peterson left? Carson Wentz, you know, fell apart. So I love that part of him. I also love the leadership part of him. Doug Peterson's a guy that everyone loves, has led his team to a Super Bowl. So he has the offensive mind, he has the quarterback experience part, and then he also is a great leader. So I think he checks off every single box. Saying that, I think the unfortunate part is I think that's how everyone is going to view him. I think he's going to be every single team's number one candidate, and he's going to be able to choose where he wants to go. The Broncos do have a lot of attractive pieces for a head coach, but they don't have the quarterback position. So if another team has a better quarterback situation, I have to imagine that's where Doug Peterson goes. But he would be not my number one as well. And look, I'm very interested in Brian Flores as well. And it's hard for me to take my personal belief now away from what George Payton's looking for, because I think we're both looking for very different things. I would be looking offense, offense, offense. But I think for a non-offensive guy, Brian Flores is very interesting. Nathaniel Hackett. And another name I'm going to throw out there is Brian Callahan, Cincinnati's offensive coordinator. He was there to draft Joe Burrow. He has helped groom Joe Burrow. He's a 37-year-old guy. So if you want a young young offensive mind, Brian Callahan is probably in there, along with Kellen Moore. But Jim Caldwell as well, he is definitely the CEO type of person. There's a lot of names. And Brady, I think the Broncos are going to interview nearly 10 people. They're really going to look everywhere.
Well, this should be a lot of fun to talk about it. Last one for you, Zach. What does this all mean for Drew Lock? He's under contract. Is there any scenario, any chance you could see him being the starting quarterback next year?
Man, I think that scenario is if plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D doesn't work out, then they go to Drew. You know, what happened all season when Vic Fangio would talk about Drew Lock? He never really said glowing things about him, right? And I know that really got under the skin of Broncos fans, and people didn't think it was fair. Well, yesterday, when we talked to George Payton and he was asked about Drew, I thought we were talking to Vic Fangio. I mean, he said, you know, a couple of good things, but then he really harped on the job of a quarterback is to win, and Drew did not win. He did not get that done. I mean, I thought this was Vic talking to us about Drew just because of all the good things he could have pointed to. Instead, he really focused on the bad and how the Broncos could have done better under Drew. So I really got vibes that they're going to try to completely overhaul this quarterback room.
Yeah, that says it all, doesn't it? I mean, if you read, you don't even have to read between the lines on that side of it. So we could be in for a lot of new surrounding the Broncos. Zach, I know we'll get more into I want to get into contracts with you, too, because you know everybody's saying, hey, the defense should just pick up right where it left off. There's some key pieces first the Broncos will have to secure if that's the route they want to go. So I want to get into that with you maybe later this week. As the interview process rolls on for George Payton and these Denver Broncos, we'll be looking out for your Twitter, my friend. Nobody does it better. You are just absolutely dominating when it comes to Broncos reports, man. And we love following it. We love having you on the show.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Hey, I thought for a second there you were going to say talking contract. I thought we were signing me to a contract here.
Maybe a five-year deal, you know, five-year deal.
we'll look at
something like that. You know, we'll get our people over to your people ASAP.
Let's go, baby.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Sounds great.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Man, he's good. He's good. I've been following his stuff, and he's hitting up all the interviews. Everybody that's going to be doing interviews, will be thinking about doing interviews with George Payton, Zach's going to be the guy that's diving into this more and more. Right now, here's what we have. We do know that he is set to interview. They're requesting interviews with Jerod Mayo, the linebackers coach for the Patriots, and Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. And it sure sounds like Dan Quinn, for day one of the search, is up top. And when I say I'm not saying that this would be a bad move. I'm just saying that I, for one, kind of want to go the McVay Shanahan route, give it a try. I'm not saying that just because they're young, they're going to be McVay or Shanahan, but you don't know if you don't try. So I'm kind of interested to see the opposite of the retread thing. That does not mean I'm not for the, like, if they hire Dan Quinn, this is not Vic Fangio. I was not for the Vic Fangio hire. If Dan Quinn's the guy, I'm here for it. 12:52 the time. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I'll wrap up hour number one. Nuggets, they win two in a row. Our team's figuring out something while Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are out. Somebody's going to have to figure out something else on the other side for Denver. We'll talk about it next.
Unwind with a Good Afternoon Guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Five minutes until the top of the hour. We still have Jerry Schimmel coming up, the voice of the UNC Bears. Talk a lot of sports with him, though. Jerry, of course, is following up with the Nuggets. He's still very much in the know when it comes to all things Nuggets, so we're going to get to that later on with him. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who would you like the Broncos to go after, an offensive-minded guy or a defensive-minded guy? Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, providing our game beer of the week. This one's from Horse and Dragon Brewing in Fort Collins, a Snow Camp Porter. Pick up selections from Horse and Dragon or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Hey, you got the national championship game tonight. Pick up a six-pack of your favorite beverage and do it at my friend's place, On the Rocks Liquor. You can pop by the drive-thru and get you home ready to rock and roll for this game tonight. The Nuggets beat the Thunder yesterday, and you've seen this off and on with teams. They try to double the Joker. OKC was flat out fronting him. They were also sending a guy in the middle of the paint to try to pick off a pass as soon as it would hit Joker's hands. And that team did not, Denver's offense did not know how to get him the ball. They were hesitant, and when you're hesitant, you got to get to him quick. That is something that I really hope Michael Malone is focusing on today, as we get into, they got a game tomorrow against the Clippers, because that could be tough. If teams just absolutely try to deny Joker, you're going to have somebody else hit some outside shots. That's the problem. All right, second hour coming up. More Broncos coaching search talk. Is that the end for Drew Locke? Also, Colorado State drops out of the top 25. Second hour coming up next.